Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat.
Wow.
Sabotage, I say. And that is Carl from RobotCast.com because we disturb him in the middle of his midday, mid-evening snack to talk about science fiction.
No one heard that. No one heard that at all.
Yeah, no, everyone heard that. And we have Eric Eric with us today. And hey. We're just going to have like a really unorganized, hey, oh, that's enthusiastic. just a wacky show. I guess it's going to be one of those. First, I want to talk about Fringe. I know we all been watching. I've been oohing and aahing about it. I think the latest developments with... Spock came on the last episode, and help me out, Eric, because I'm kind of drowning with that. What happened last episode?
Oh, wow. You know what? You got me. I just realized now you caught me so off guard that I only watched, like, the first half of the most recent episode. Oh, because I was... None of this was planned. None of this recording was planned. And, I mean,
we're blaming this on you. We're blaming this on you right now.
This is totally going on the feed. Carl is eating. Eric can't remember. You didn't even watch Friends, dude. How could you stop in the middle of that episode when Spock is telling stuff?
And, oh, whoa! No, spoiler alert.
I
didn't even get to the part where Spock came back. Oh, man. So, okay.
Maybe I imagined that. Did I, Carl?
Assuming you have not procured an episode from via dubious means, so you know, I know sometimes you were able to
get.
I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you can get your hands on shows that I'm like, that ain't coming out till next year. You're like, oh, I found it somewhere.
It fell off a truck.
The Paramount truck. So assuming we are in sync, the Bell did appear at the end of the last episode of Fringe that I saw. So
it's very possible. Okay, Eric, at the very beginning of that episode.
What was the last thing you saw?
I don't know. They're still trying to say try to figure out exactly what they were trying to gain access to the bad guys. Like they had got the second thing, and they had already checked out 3 patients, and then I don't know going further from there.
You don't know what the things were used for.
No, I don't know what they're used for. No.
Oh God! No,
you can say if you like or you want or you know.
No, because that would drive me nuts. Can I tell you, please?
No, I just said please? You can. I'm not worried about it.
No, I don't want to. I feel bad. Okay, I am.
It's not you.
Okay, I'm not. Okay.
Well, go ahead and tell me because I have a couple. Crazy.
Okay, what happened was, they were collecting weird mad scientists they took brain matter from Walter out of his brain, right? Mm-hmm. And they put it into 3 separate people, right?
Okay.
And it made them go crazy. And what they did was take that brain matter, because the only way you can store brain matter in the Fringe universe is to take it from one person's brain and to store it into another person's brain. So they took 3 parts, put it into someone else, pulled it out, put it in jars, hooked a little thing up to Walter's head. He became actual Walter Bishop from old school, like before he went crazy. Uh-huh. I mean, he was,
They reintegrated his brain parts.
Thank you.
Yeah, so
yeah,
that, all the stuff.
Explain this. You're the smart guy. You explain it.
Well, no, you're doing great. You see,
no, I get it. It's just like right, when they took Spock's mind back from McCoy and put it back into, you know, Spock. On the mouth.
Yeah, it was kind of like
it was sanctioned by Bell, come to think of it. So you know,
that's funny. Over. I didn't even realize that. That's very funny.
Well, and so we find out that Walter didn't like go crazy. He just had his mind pulled out of him, and he agreed to have this stuff done because his memory, it was too dangerous for him to remember. These things, according to
by the end of the episode, is that the way he's going to remain now? Like a changed?
Yeah.
Okay.
A tard.
I have to see how that, tard, but... how that works out. Like, because, I don't know, because first I had an observation from the episode. I think it was the one before this one. Because I noticed, because yeah, I always say that Walter is a lot like the first Doctor, and he was sporting like canvas all-stars like in the previous episode, and I just thought, another weird connection. But actually, there's two crazy wild theories I've had for many Fringe episodes now that I just haven't been able to share because we just haven't talked about the show and it just hasn't come up. But I came up with one crazy theory about 4 or 5 episodes ago, and I had one more recently. The one 4 or 5 episodes ago that I had was, it was some episode where at the very end, Peter woke up from some crazy dream at the very end of the episode. Mm-hmm. And it was like, he was dreaming that like, when he was a kid, Walter was like checking out, doing something, whatever. Maybe it was when Walter kidnapped him from the alternate, I don't know what it was supposed to be, but it was something like that. Anyways, I saw that scene, and for some reason, it just made me have a whole flood of like brainstorming and thinking about it and thinking about the alternate world and how Walter took his Peter from the alternate world, you know, to bring him back to this world because he lost his own son, yada, yada, yada. So I was thinking, this is a total long shot Hail Mary prediction. But
out with it, man!
Going back to there, I was thinking, okay, so Walter stole his son from the alternate world. And we know that our world is fighting with the alternate world in a way, with all the bald people and everything. And if he snatched Peter from that world, then assuming there's a Walter Bishop in the does that mean he stole Walter Bishop's son from the alternate world? And then I was thinking, if I keep following that line of thinking, Walter Bishop would probably be just as motivated to get his son back. And I was thinking, what if it's alternate Walter Bishop who's the devious mastermind, actually like supreme evil from the other side? And I was just, I mean, I don't know if they've even planned
that's
that.
That's good. Point,
but it just makes sense to me that there would be this evil Walter Bishop because he's trying to get his son back. And he's that motivated, you know, because his son was basically kidnapped from his world. And how they emphasized, especially in the first season, in the beginning of this season, they always emphasize how our Walter, he's motivated more than anything to get his son and to keep his son alive and to protect it. That's always been Walter's number one motivating thing. So I was thinking, wouldn't that translate into the alternate world? Wouldn't that Walter Bishop possibly be that motivated as well and would go so far to get his son back? And so, okay, that was that's my first crazy Hail Mary theory that I've been holding on to for many episodes now. And then the second one I just had more recently, just I think I was watching this episode. It's either this one or the last one. But because I always pick up on these things because writers, they don't make the character – there's certain dialogue that the characters say and you know it's not accidental. Just like with all the Peter talk in the first season about, oh, you don't remember that, blah. And you know, it's obvious they're trying to hint something. And in this this episode, or the last one, Peter and Olivia were having a little conversation about, he was saying, you know, this is not just your fight. You know, I'm always going to be there for you, you know, no matter what, you know. And I was thinking,
I thought he was just hitting on her.
I was thinking, the fact that they chose to stick that particular piece of dialogue into the conversation really makes, from a writer's point of view, it really suggests to me that something is going to turn, you know, maybe in this season, at the end of this season or next season, where Peter and Olivia are going to become like enemies. Because that's I really feel that, and you know, and I was thinking it's possible going, like, tagging along to my previous Hail Mary prediction, see, at some point, Peter's going to find out that he is from the alternate world. And I was thinking, when he finds out, there's the possibility that he may, you know, think, you know what, this whole thing, my whole life is a lie. This is not even real. This is not even my real dad's, in a way. This is not my real world. For some reason, I see a point where plot-wise, because if I was head writer on the show, I'm thinking this is the greatest way to create drama. This is what you like to do in shows. And make him say, you know what, this is all wrong. Screw you guys. I'm teaming up with Alternate World and my real dad, you know.
Don't you think his and Olivia's bond is a little stronger than just that? Yeah, and he's been sober about... No. He's been sober about the entire crazy everything, because everything that has happened to him since he's came back into his father's life has been weird. And don't you think he would just kind of accept it and then move on and then still join the fight because he has a little crush on Olivia? And
yes, you could say that, but if you want to make really, truly dramatic television and drama, and you're like head writer, I think you have to go down that. You have to explore it, and you know, and eventually you bring him back to the good side, you know, at the end, like at the end of Return of the Jedi when Anakin comes back. But in the meantime, this is the greatest drama. You bring them very close, Olivia, and that's perfect setup. Peter and Olivia still get closer before you spring this twist, and Peter goes AWOL rebel, joins the alternate universe, joins his evil dad.
Oh, you think
he'd
go that far?
He joins up with their side because his original dad is over there waiting for him.
You need to finish this episode, because if you're thinking about getting evil dad, that's kind of how Walter felt.
Mm-hmm. And so, that creates a whole great another arc where Peter's on the bad side until they can bring him back to the quote-unquote good side. I don't know. So those are my two long-shot predictions I've been waiting to spill out.
Carl, if you're finished eating, would you like to chime in on that?
I'm just enjoying it. I mean, Eric's pretty much written Fringe for the next 2.5 here, so... Now I'm just going to watch and see if it unfolds as Eric has predicted. But that's pretty good stuff. That's a pretty good time. I don't have any projections in terms of where the story is going to go. I just want to get back to my mad scientist respect for Walter in these past two episodes.
So if he changes, were you afraid when they put his brain back together that he was going to become normal or whatever? Or
well, okay, well, you know, as Eric will see, and as we've all seen, when his brain was reintegrated, what we've always suspected is that Walter was a little, I'm not going to say obsessed with the work, but he was sort of a darker figure than we have seen him as the playful, absent-minded professor. Dude built a, transdimensional doorway. He was a super genius, and that kind of stuff doesn't typically go with the bunnies and the flowers that we've seen of lost Walter. So that moment when his brain does get reintegrated, you see he's dark. I mean, he's upset. He's PO'd about what's been going on, and he's like, I need a report. What's going on? There is a certain not just clarity, but a sinister quality to who Walter is at that point. And like I said, we always suspected that's who he has been, or maybe that's where he came from. But who is it? Was it Astrid that said something to the effect of he going through all of this made him a better dad and maybe a better person after the fact that these parts of his brain were removed. So if there is a rogue, dark version of Walter loose on the parallel side, that could be very, very interesting. Very interesting to see.
Oh, that would be great.
But what I wanted to say was, from the last episode, I was just impressed with how cool Walter looked. I mean, we've seen him go from, straight out the asylum. I mean, he looked like a wanted dude. Remember the first episode?
Unabomber Walter.
He looked like he had the U-bomber look about him. He was crazy rough. But the last, not the current episode, but the one just before, where he finally starts to, exert a little independence, and when he goes on his trip, Walter was looking clean. That is best he has looked in the whole series. And it was just good to see him, out and trying to be, out in the world again. And you saw him macking a little with Astrid, playing around with her out.
Because they said that he was picking out his clothes now because he wanted his independence in the previous episode with the weird Cthulhu inner, little squid things that were coming out of people. So they said at the beginning of that episode that he was trying to dress himself and take his own taxi and all this other type of stuff. So, yeah.
If he's dressing himself now, who was dressing him before? Because he's doing a better job.
Is Peter a great dresser? Because I don't know,
but man, he was busting the corduroy patches and everything. I was like, all right, Doc, he was looking cool. I've been really impressed with the character of Walter over the whole arc of the series. He's been my favorite, but just in these past couple of episodes, you are really feeling, good and bad. You're happy, you're sad, you're at one point scared of Walter. I mean, that's been a really good time, and it's been fun to watch. I mean, it's really drawn me into the series.
Okay, what about the observers? We had a really big, huge observer episode. It was a guy, I forgot his name. He was from that one show. I forgot the name of that. The Babylon Crusade. He was like the techno mage from Crusade. He was the observer who went rogue and kidnapped a lady to save her life.
I was just putting the other stuff together. That was the techno mage? I had totally forgotten that. He looked familiar, but okay. Well,
yeah, it was a techno mage.
Oh, now it's coming back. Okay, well, thank you for that. I didn't realize. But okay, yes, I'm sorry. What was the question?
I'm trying to recall too, because I remember that had inspired some thoughts. I mean, I'm trying to think back to what that.
Well, it was a whole big thing about the observers. They are here to observe, but like always, they can't, interfere. And they were trying to correct the timeline because they're not. Are they time travel? They are time traveling, aren't they? I have.
Yeah,
we don't pay attention. Do I even watch the show?
Yeah. Okay, well, we assume they time travel because they have existed throughout the history of humanity. But what I think is interesting, and I didn't realize until this episode, is that there were different ones. That they were, there are different observers.
And this finally confirmed. Go ahead.
And as well as the fact that observers can die is also interesting. Yeah. I mean, and through reasonable, you always assume that super beings that are capable of death, but they can die in series. But how he dies in the episode is very, very mortal. It's very straightforward. So I was like, okay, these guys may be a little bit more mortal than we thought. But again, what was the question?
I have no idea. Eric, what was that little epiphany you had?
No, but just that. No, it finally confirmed, because I had always thought that from season one, for I don't know what reason, I had always assumed that the observer that we kept seeing was the same guy, and I had always assumed that there was other ones out there, we just hadn't seen them. And so this just basically confirmed what I just always thought from day one, basically.
Yeah, we did have a discussion, but I don't know which side of it I was on.
Yeah, but it's always been my theory, but it wasn't really, 100% sure until then. There it is.
I know we were trying to figure out if that little boy observer was the one observer in the past, and then because we were trying to figure out if he was the only observer and if that or blah blah blah. But since we know that there are multiple observers, then that doesn't really matter now.
That's another thing that they caused, another issue they caused with me, or problem, a little thing they threw at me, because with the Little Observer episode, even though I already assumed there was other observers, for some reason, in my mind, I had a little feeling that the Little Observer was one and the same of our primary observer. Mm-hmm. I just had this weird feeling, and I was thinking, but see, they kind of ruined it with the multi-observer episode, because I always thought, maybe he was a special observer, because how he always put all the hot sauce on his sandwiches and the pepper?
They all eat that, though,
well,
right?
Exactly. That's what messed it up, because they had that episode and they all did that. Because I was thinking maybe he might be the only one. That's his trademark, because in the episode with the little observer, they kept talking about how he's been eating bugs and stuff down in the cellar like all his whole life, and so he can barely taste anything. So I was thinking maybe that was like his little personal origin story as an observer. That's why he put so much pepper and hot sauce, is because when he was a little kid, all he ate was those bugs, and he lost his sense of taste. So I thought that was like a direct link showing that this is one and the same observer. But then they're all doing it, and I was like, crap.
So I think, is it some sort of thing that makes them survive, or?
I was thinking hopefully the writer who wrote, whoever wrote the multi-observer episode, I'm hoping he just didn't read that in the show Bible, and so he just accidentally messed up with that detail, because I just thought that was a great, you know, symbol to show that this is one and the same of that particular, because what, did they all grow up like that then? Did they all grow up eating bugs? Like, you know, because that just, like, throws that whole theory out the window. So that kind of, that's the only thing that bothers
me. I thought maybe he only ate the hot sauce and he had to eat a certain diet because he traveled so much through time, or he lived for so long, or whatever makes him observer is what makes him eat the hot sauce and the hot whatever, and just because he ate bugs and stuff for the other long period. But that does break, because he seems like he became that way, an observer, like, because he was in the cellar.
See, I've always gone to the assumption that, okay, I don't know where these, I don't know exactly where the observers came from, their origin, but I always took it as at some point in the near future, like 10, 15 years in the future, and I don't know if it's in our world or the alternate fringe world, but these observers rise up and become some type of force. And I always took it that at some time in the next 10, 15 years, somebody develops time travel, and and that's where we get all these observers going back through history and yada, yada, yada. Because I just always assumed in my mind this is how the fringe world works. Like, I've never seen anything to confirm that, but I've just always been under that assumption ever since the baby observer episode. And they talked about how and how they talk about this coming storm is from, they've mentioned that it's from the near future, or that's what it originated from. And so I've always been, and plus, okay, this is a J.J. Abrams show. As far as I know, except for the one that got canceled real quick, what was Six Degrees, every single J.J. Abrams series that I'm aware of, I believe, they all involve time travel. And, of course, the new Star Trek movie by J.J. Abrams also.
And you know, that there's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, it blew me away. His first show, I believe it was his first show before Alias, was Felicity, which was totally, I don't know if anyone's familiar with Felicity or watched it back then.
Hell no.
The only reason I knew anything about this.
Yes, that was a WB chick show. I can't even believe you admitting that you're watching that.
The only reason I knew anything about the show was because my significant other loved Felicity. And it was done by J.J. Abrams before anybody knew his name. And I remember she used to always watch it, and it bored me to tears because it was a stereotypical chick show. And I suddenly got very interested. I remember it was the end of the fourth season, and everyone knew it was the last season. There was like four more episodes of Felicity left. And like on the fourth to the last episode, all of a sudden, Felicity wakes up, and she's traveled 4 years in the past. And I'm like, what? 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 This is a completely straightforward chick flick drama show. And suddenly she travels through time. Like, what a sci-fi twist that just came out of...
Wasn't it just a dream?
And that was the question. Is it just a dream? And somehow, she like, woke up, and it was, like, day one premiere episode of the show. Like, you know, the events, I mean. And all of a sudden, I became so intrigued with the show, because now the last four episodes was all about Felicity going to her friend saying, this is not right. I'm not supposed to be here. You know, this has already happened. What's going on? And everyone was like, what are you talking about? And I got so into it. And then it was like, of course, like I said, the last four episodes. But I'm just saying, wow.
I don't even know why I let you talk that long about that, because I was waiting for you to tell me something profound, and you just didn't.
I'm just – my only point is that he's time traveled in every series, because they did an Alias. They've obviously been mucking around in Lost. Six Degrees,
yeah, of course. After
that show got canceled quickly, so we never got to see where that was going. And then here we are, Fringe. So they haven't explicitly done the try. They've only hinted at it with the observer popping up.
Well, you know they have to time travel because they always do this long spiel about time. And it lining up or this, that, and the other.
Yes.
And Walter doing the Christopher Lloyd Back to the Future parallel skew drawing. It was straight off the chalkboard.
And then he even did it a second time, and then he's like, did I do this already? And, yes, Walter. Oh, never mind.
I wonder when we're going to get back to Olivia's story and her powers or, you know, the kids and what they... Because we haven't really dealt with her in a while.
I think they're just saving it. Just like,
I'm just glad she's...
You just glad she was, Carl?
She's less stoic now. You know, yes. that was one of my biggest complaints early in the series. She was just this blank, kind of drab. And, you know, I didn't want her to become hyper-emotional or anything, but I just needed to, given all of the insanity that she was dealing with day to day, you know, that's her job, and she's just going to take it. Like, you know, I needed to see something that connected me to her, you know, as a viewer, because, you know, you got people turning to glass and stuff flying all over the place. You'd think that would affect the person a little bit, you know, and she was just like, wow, I'm glad I was able to submit my report. What are we going to be doing tomorrow? That was it for the whole first part of the series. And I, so now, you know, you saw she's got the connection with her. Is that her niece? Who's the daughter of her?
Yes, her niece.
Yeah, her niece.
Yes, her niece. And her sister is supposed to be in love with
Peter.
But she hasn't shown up, or that hasn't been a thing.
Yeah,
in fact, they've kind of taken the romance out of this episode. I mean, this season. Yeah.
Well, yeah, so that's that. Probably
one of you go.
Go ahead, Eric.
The real travesty.
Oh, here we go.
As far as who's been missing and Fringe, is I want my
Charlie.
Agent Jessup. I want my agent back.
Here we go.
Come on.
Oh, God. You know, I'm gonna have to back up Eric on this.
Jessup, of course, you're gonna have to back him. Here we go.
Brought an extra something to Fringe, I gotta say. I do miss. I totally miss.
Bring back
I thought as much as she talked that she was gonna be a major part, and you know, I think I would like to see her back as well, but not for the same reasons you guys would like to see her.
What are you talking about? I think
she's a fine actress.
Yeah, whatever, Eric.
Yes.
No, because what I thought was gonna happen watching the season premiere of season 2 was I thought they were going to do some kind of X-Files thing in which Olivia, I thought she might stay in a coma for a while and just be kind of out of the picture and kind of do like a Fox Mulder sabbatical.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought they were going to bring in Agent Jessup to like fill in the Olivia role. That's what my original thought was. I was like, yeah.
No, they brought in Agent Jessup and told Olivia, if you don't start acting, we're going to replace you.
Yeah,
so that's why
happened.
She is.
Suddenly, she was emoting a whole lot more. They had more of those scenes where she was half naked and liquids and stuff. So you're right, Kat. You put it together. That's what it was.
I'm smart.
I don't know. She has to come back though. There has to be some letter writing campaign out there somewhere.
She's gonna come back, but she's gonna like catch some disease. She's gonna die horribly.
Oh no.
No, see, you're just mad Charlie's gone. See,
I am mad because Charlie's gone. He was so nice to look at.
No, but alternate Charlie's art. Alternate Charlie's coming back. When Peter goes to the dark side in alternate world, alternate Charlie's gonna come to the good world, and because I feel like
where do you get this stuff from, Eric?
Because when they killed Charlie, I was like, yeah, fine, they killed him, but there's no way we've seen the last of him. And so I've always felt that alternate Charlie is going to come back and fill like the pain, the void that Olivia has. And see, this is another thing. And again, going back to the writer's tale here, because I can't help but always analyze shows like this. Like, where are they going, the writers, and how are they going to keep it interesting? And what always is a draw for any show, it has been for me, is whenever you have those two main characters, like X-Files, who you want to fall in love, but they just never quite get there. And that's the greatest mix-up, is because, like I said, if I'm head writer, we're going to continue to get Peter and Olivia a little bit closer to kissing and hooking up. And right before we get there, Peter's going to get whisked to alternate world, go rogue, and then alternate Charlie's going to come, and he's going to join up with the good guys, and, you know, and they're going to... alternate Charlie has to, like, get a hookup with Olivia, basically. That's the greatest way to create, like, fan drama and make people just pine ever more for Peter to get back Olivia, is to completely screw it all up and, like, destroy... That's... I'm telling you. I'm telling you, all the great shows are founded on a really awesome relationship that never happens. Like, and shows
yeah,
always...
Mulder and Scully happened. Of course it happened, and this show went to crap, but...
Exactly, and that's always the downfall, is when once you... You know, once you fire that last blank, you know, then you're done. But you got to try to extend it as long as you can. And that's
oh,
about
Mulder and Scully went a long time.
But that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do, like, to keep a show going and interesting and fresh, you know. Just like the Kate
and Shaq. I noticed something.
Go ahead.
Oh, God, not them. You know, I noticed something. There was an episode of Fringe called First Wave. And the guy from the TV show First Wave was in that episode. The black guy who was the trying to collect brains.
Uh-huh. Oh, he was in this episode too.
Yeah, he was in it. He, of course, died. But
I know that, but okay. Go ahead.
And I just thought that was... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I thought that was a little fan tidbit that nobody seems to be excited about but me. But okay.
Never heard of First
Did anybody watch that show? Did anybody know... Carl?
I heard of it. I didn't watch it. I heard of it. I didn't see it. No.
Oh, he used to play repeats on Sci-Fi Channel. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of cute, and I'm pretty sure they did it on purpose or something.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
First Wave. He's from First Wave, and blah, blah. Okay, anyway. I guess we're going to keep it on Fringe since, you know, we only have a limited time, so... Any last thoughts about Fringe, or how many more episodes do we have this year before they go on break?
Good. I could have sworn that was the 10th episode, the one that just aired. So I'm assuming.
What does that mean?
I'm assuming there's got to be. They're probably doing the 20 episode season, probably, right? You would think. So you would think that there's 10 more episodes in 2009, right? Because they're either going to do a 16 or a 20. And I'm thinking they're going to do a 20, standard 20 episodes. So
we already went on that long extended break, and everybody was upset about...
Yeah, but that doesn't really count, because obviously that's baseball. Is there going to be a new episode of Fringe next week? Does anybody know?
I don't want to open a browser, because it will slow down my computer.
Because this is the time... Well, anyway, this is the time of year. December is the time when everything goes on hiatus, pretty much. And so I was just assuming that they were just going to come back with 10... new episodes in 2010. I said 2009 earlier. I meant 2010.
Oh, that's why you confused me.
Yeah,
I
didn't say 2010. 2010.
Okay.
I expect 10 more episodes.
Now that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I expected. I think they're going to save the best for last, as usual.
Alright, well. That is going to be our show for right now. It was exciting to talk Fringe with Eric and Carl. I thank you guys for joining us. We will have your information on the show notes. And please leave a comment at Sci-Fi Party Line. Give us a call, 713-336-2-something or another. We'll have that in the show notes as well. And see you at the party next time. Bye.
Walter was up, and see the asterisk chopping flatworms up. The blended worms could jog my memory, so I swallowed. Then Walter held up the strawberry. Now I know I'm in trouble, cause ain't nothing but a Fringe thing, baby. He's a mad scientist, and he's crazy. FBI is the org that pays me. The worms are edible, but I'll try not to barf this.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the plot at hand. At Elias Cryonics, there were murders by a van. Besides this crime, there were two more that involved frozen heads, but what the hell for? One of the corpse's blood was silvery. It had consistency of the element mercury. And I saw weird things. I saw a man and two towers, and I heard a bell ring, yeah. Charlie knelt down to get some detail, and Walter noticed Charlie was looking pale. Walter said that cannabis before bedtime is nice. Then he noticed a shapeshifter's conversion device. It's got wires and prongs and a box and a. It's got prongs and a box and wires and a. It's got a box and wires and prongs and a. I meet with Broyles in a restaurant, yo. Well, we're talking and we're thinking about this curious thread and why the shapeshifter soldiers want a frozen head. Now it's time for Broyles to make his opinion felt. To give me protective detail, he feels compelled. But it's been 6 weeks since they tried to kill me, though. If the shifter's around, I haven't killed before. And at the same time, despite my dope punches and kicks, Broyles knows and I know my luck has been nothing but so Walter examines the corpse of the shifter, whose blood is half mercury. And the corpse that we thought was the first shifter had normal blood. So the real shifter's still at large. He could be disguised as anyone. That's right. He could be disguised as anyone. That's right. We rewatched the tape of the experiment with the drug episode. The girl conversed while LSD immersed. She could see shifters from the other universe. She's the REBECCAKIBNER all the way. But that was years ago. She's a bit older now. Peter and Walter track her down somehow. Yeah. And she don't quit. I think she's in the mood for another LSD hit. So Pete, what up, Liv? Gotta give her what she wants, LSD. We're gonna give her something. Hallucinogen. And it's gotta be bumpin'. City of Boston. That is the place where the crazy things happen. All in front of Gene the cow. Boo, boo, boo. Rebecca was groaning as time elapsed. Peter rang the bell and then I collapsed. I finally recall my meeting with William Bell. I told him I want answers, not tea. Can't you tell? It's a time slip and he can tell that I'm slipping.
Gotta get with Nina about the symbol I've been given.
Bell says that they prepared me to guard both sides and that the shape changers are the first way utilized. Yeah. Then I woke up thanks to the adrenaline from Peter. Physics is a biatch, and I'm a believer.
Nina cracked snow globes.
Four worlds will collide.
And the man I thought was Charlie was a shapeshifter guy.
I finally shot the shifter to permanently derail him. As for Bell's task, I'm sorry that I failed him here. Yeah.
It's like Bishop, like Bell, and like Bishop, and it's like Bell, and like Bishop, like Bell, and it's like Bishop.
Who knows what the future may hold?
We'll find out in the next episode.
The so fact that you were brave enough to out yourself on Felicity was
I really strongly connect to that reference, you know, and they're gonna say, "Wow, these people are diverse. These people, what's going on? Come on."
Probably the same two that watched First Wave. So,
oh my God! Look at you. Hold up.